You think we're simple, you think we're not bright. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food.
We feed you.
Hello, everyone. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission. I'm skipping the usual opening because in this instance, time is information. I've already cut too much from my conversations with three soil pH specialists, and I don't want to have to cut any more. No dilly-dallying, as my mother used to say. When I mention the phrase master variable, what do you think of? Nitrogen, tilth, sulfur, micronutrients, perhaps a particular tillage practice. Actually, it's soil pH, and you'll find out why that is, why we have to be concerned, and what we can do about it in Episode 8, which I'm calling Soil pH. How low can we afford to go? What would you say if I told you that in certain parts of your wheat fields, you may be wasting up to 50% of the nitrogen you apply? It's hard to believe, but according to various soil specialists, that sort of wastefulness is happening all across eastern Washington as a result of low soil pH. I recently interviewed three individuals who are working independently and together to help Northwest farmers solve their low soil pH problems. Paul Carter, Washington State University Area Extension Agent based in Dayton, Washington, leads this podcast off, followed by a conversation with Elston Solberg and Gary Wagner. Solberg, who has a master's in soil science, taught at the University of Alberta and served as staff at the Alberta Agricultural Council. He was visiting Wagner, a friend and representative of Columbia River Carbonate, when I spoke with both of them at Wagner's house in late December. First, some context. Soil pH is measured on a scale of 0 to 14. 7 is considered neutral. Above that, soil is alkaline, and below that, it is acidic. The problem in eastern Washington is acidic soils. Wheat crops like to grow in soils with a pH of between 6 and 6.5. Carter has measured some soils in Columbia County with a pH in the 4s and 5s. Although the difference between a pH in 4 and a pH of 7 may not seem like a lot, pH is measured like earthquakes, which means a soil pH of 4 is 1,000 times more acidic than a soil pH of 7. I asked Carter to explain why pH is so darn important.
Well, pH is known as the master variable in the soils and controls most of our nutrient availability for the plants to grow in. And so as I started working here about 12 years ago, it was brought to my attention that there were some plant growth problems. And when I first looked at it, I saw that we had a pH issue in that soil pHs were in the low 5s, upper 4 pHs, which are pretty acidic.
As a reporter, I remember a story I wrote after visiting a cut-over forested field near Rockford, Washington, back in the late 1980s. At that time, it was thought that former forested soils were more susceptible to low soil pH than grassland soils. Carter said his research indicates that's not true. But there is a difference.
We do know that by sampling some of the native forested areas that they were actually a fairly neutral pH in the beginning, but they may change more quickly. So in some ways could be the canary in the coal mine.
Like so many extension agents before him, Carter is an advocate of soil sampling. Over my years as a reporter, I wrote many stories regarding the recommendations of experts to soil sample, and while more farmers are doing just that, they may not be doing it in a manner that will tell them what they need to know.
If you're going to be a producer, you You need to do soil sampling, and the first thing you should look at in the sample is your pH levels. Typically, we've looked at the top foot as a separate sample, and we're missing some of the really strong acidic problems that are primarily developing in that top 6 inches where we apply the nitrogen. So the first thing you do is look at your pH levels and then start looking at your other nutrients.
Ironically, the same nutrient that unlocked modern farming methods and tripled yields is also the culprit for low soil pH, nitrogen.
You know, it's our cropping system that is causing the low pH, and it's pretty much exclusively the applications of nitrogen. Nitrogen is, as it converts from ammonium or other sources of nitrogen, leaves hydrogen ions in the soil, and that's the hydrogen is what makes it more acidic. Anhydrous ammonium is one of the sources. We also have what we call solution 32. We do have a couple of other sources of nitrogen, but they all basically have the same effect on the soil. There are some that are more acidic to it, like ammonium sulfate, which is adds a lot more acidity more quickly than the other sources. But even the nodules on our pea plants and chickpeas and alfalfa will cause an acidic condition as well, because they produce a nitrogen-fixing bacteria that has to change over just like the ammonium does.
When it comes to farming practices and soil pH, Carter said both conventional and direct seeding have similar challenges, but the problem has presented somewhat differently between the two.
So no-till tends to stratify the pH in a narrower band because you're not stirring the soil, whereas if it was in, we'll call inversion tillage, like a moldboard plow, you're going to have a wider band of acid soil, but it may not be quite as acidic. So that's kind of the difference between no-till and conventional tillage.
Although liming to correct soil pH is practiced elsewhere in the U.S. and around the world, Carter said we have been able to ignore the practice until now.
We've been so blessed in the Pacific Northwest with our neutral, very fertile soils here that we haven't had to, but the time has come that we're going to have to do that.
This sounds like it's a multi-million dollar fix.
In some cases, it may be almost like buying the farm back if we've let it get in bad shape.
Well, that's sobering, isn't it? By the way, the Washington Grain Commission has funded several research projects looking at low soil pH, also called acid soils or high aluminum soils, and WSU wheat breeders are busy identifying and breeding varieties that can better withstand low pH soils. Now let's switch gears, but remain on the same road, as we follow into my interview with Gary Wagner and Elston Solberg. Wagner retired as a farmer near Reardon a couple of years ago, but he has always had other interests. I first met him more than 20 years ago after he contacted me following a story I wrote on biosolids. Next thing I know, he's in the biosolids business. As a representative of Columbia River Carbonates, he's an advocate for the company's liquid liming agent, more commonly used as a paint and paper additive. He believes it's farmers' low pH answer. Solberg, who has traveled extensively around the world, said farmers elsewhere understand calcium carbonate's benefits.
Germany, they're liming in Australia, New Zealand, Asia. Everywhere I go, they're liming. It's one of the very first things a global farmer does. And I come home and everybody goes, Elston, you just don't understand. It's different here. And I'm just absolutely frustrated by it.
Being pretty much a liming ignoramus myself, I asked Solberg whether the United States was behind the times when it comes to fixing soil pH. He quickly disabused me of that notion.
Oh, you've got some of the best lime experts on the planet in the U.S. They're just all in the Midwest and the Mid-South. They lime their fields like they put on their shorts every day. So it's not like the U.S. doesn't know what they're talking about. It's not like Canada doesn't know what they're talking about. Ontario, Quebec, the eastern provinces, they've started with acid soils. They know how to lime soils. It's just something, I don't know where you hit it. Something happens at the 40th meridian, and it's just like a lime force field or something.
As an example of amending soil, Wagner remembered one 160-acre field on his farm years ago that was yielding an average of 60 bushels an acre, except for one 40-acre portion that was only yielding 15 bushels an acre. Soil sampling indicated pH wasn't a problem.
When we would have the normal soil test done from our local co-op, the pH would come back 6.2 to 6.3. And that's where you take samples across the field, you throw them all in the bag, 1 foot samples, and on average it was 6.2 to 6.3. The field had a lot of variability, but that's the information we had. So with his help from the University of Idaho and a grad student from China, we walked the field and basically created a grid of 5 acre squares. And we sampled, we had 32 samples, one from each of those 5 acre squares. And the pH of that field varied from 4.3 to 8.3. And so it was an awakening. Not too much to my surprise, the part of the field where the wheat was doing terribly, the pH was 4.3, 4.4, 4.5 kind of numbers.
As part of a research project with the University of Idaho, Wagner used 9 tons of wood ash an acre as a soil amendment on the low-producing area of the field in order to change his soil pH. His yield went from 15 bushels an acre to 85 bushels an acre. I asked Solberg to explain why that single 160-acre field had so much variation in pH.
If you take a random soil sample from a field, so let's say you take 20 cores from a typical field, 160, 200-acre field, and your soil pH comes back at 6, I can guarantee you that parts of that field will be 5 or less, and parts of that field will be 7 or more. So for me, the canary is the parts of the field that are 5 or less, because once you start seeing pHs that low, you're dramatically impacting yield potential, water use efficiency, nutrient use efficiency, ultimately productivity. Days to maturity get extended, days to emergence get extended, which translates into weed control issues, which translates into, you know, yada yada.
Changing the pH of soil is not like changing a shirt. The sheer volume of material is overwhelming. Remember Wagner's 9 tons of wood ash per acre? Not to mention the needed material needs to be trucked into the region, making the transportation almost expensive as the material. I asked Solberg whether he thought farmers were willing to make the investment.
Well, it's a big mind shift for people, but I mean, it's stuff that's done every day, every day, every day on most parts of this planet. It's what people do to ensure the productivity of their land.
The material that Wagner represents is in a liquid form with the calcium carbonate ground into a powder less than 1 micron in diameter. For comparison's sake, the diameter of a single strand of hair is 30 to 40 microns.
Columbia River Carbonates is a calcium carbonate company. They're not an ag lime company, so they make calcium carbonate products for the paper industry, the paint industry, plastics and glass and those kind of things. And so they have the technology to make it into a liquid by basically grinding it until it's so small that it's down to 1 micron material, which is hard to even perceive what 1 micron is. And then they suspend it, and the product that we're dealing with is 25% water and 75% calcium carbonate. 1 gallon weighs 16 pounds, so it's like, oh my goodness. And it's a very interesting technology, but it is basically a manufacturing process that enhances paper in particular that we brought to agriculture to get this ultra-fine material. The cost has been somewhere between $70 an acre and up. And that is for amending the soil, a broadcast application. For the precision placement, where we did, for example, near Rosalia this year, and other places where we've done it in the field, the cost is about $25 an acre to apply the material, and they got a much greater, increase in yield to offset that, so they made a profit the first year on the precision placement.
Although Northwest farmers often pride themselves as being on the cutting edge of agricultural practices, Solberg said that's not the case when it comes to liming.
We need to become global farmers. We need a new recipe that takes into account something that most of the rest of the world just takes for granted. And lime is the answer. Calcium is the answer. The beauty of the product that Gary's associated with is it's the particle size. It's 1 micron size. So it's kind of like it's kind of those the very fine particles turn into like super calcium superheroes, right? And they do a much more effective job, mainly because their surface area, their chemically reactive surface area, is so much greater than typical ag lime.
We've all heard of the farmer who does things because that's the way granddad or dad did them. But really, aren't all of us conditioned to do things the same way? Only in the case of soil, Solberg said that doing the same thing over and over again is part of the problem.
Growers in any given geography do the same thing over and over and over and over again. They seed at the same depth, they seed it the same way, they till at the same depth. And all of that leads to a very significant topic called soil nutrient and stratification. Soil characteristic stratification. So on the case of pH, when you follow Gary around and Paul around, what they typically will do is take a soil core, and then they'll have a little soil stick pH meter, and they'll measure the pH every inch down the depth of the profile. And what you'll find is you'll have the surface of the soil that has a half decent pH, even if it's low, but as you go down maybe 2-3 inches, the pH drops dramatically. And then when you get below that, it will increase a little bit. And so what's happening is that we keep putting the fertilizer in the same place. We keep putting the seed in the same place. We're reducing tillage. We're dropping huge amounts of residue on the soil surface. And the acidulation of the soil becomes even more significant, even more alarming in certain depths of a soil profile. So now you stick a seed in that depth, and you say, grow seed to grow. And it's going, oh, this is a really hostile environment. There's all these hydrogen ions around me, and I don't want to grow. So you end up with, the very first thing that a plant wants to do is grow roots. And the very first thing a farmer needs to do is create an environment where a plant can become root dominant. Root dominance is actually the very first thing a farmer should think about. And we stick the seed in an environment that says it's ugly. It's an ugly place. And so what happens? You get weak, puny roots, delayed emergence, more weed competition, poor use of nutrients, poor use of water, yada, yada, yada. Now, you come along and stick some calcium in that zone where the acidulation is low, the plant goes, oh, somebody's finally doing something for me. And now the roots proliferate, and the root system expands, becomes root dominant, and you're off to the races. A completely different world from a plant's perspective, completely different.
I asked Solberg to explain what happens when calcium carbonate is added to the soil, and at what levels does it need to reach in order to counteract the effect of nitrogen.
Typically needs tons, and it needs to be a specific quality, et cetera, et cetera. The beauty of the product that Gary is working with is we're not talking tons, we're talking gallons per acre. And maybe the fix isn't for as long a term as a application of 2 or 3 or 4 tons, but, well, the results in the field are staggering. And that's where I think we can start making a difference with growers, not putting on tons, not tilling the land, but putting on smaller amounts, gallons, and seeing the results that I've had the good fortune to see with my own eyes.
Don't you wish I would have produced this podcast in 2008 when prices were on the upswing and farmers had the money for widespread liming? Certainly, successful farmers are going to figure out what's needed in their fields, pH-wise, and react appropriately to that information. Perhaps a group of farmers going in together could affect the price environment. I have posted an extension bulletin on our Facebook page about the pH reader that lets you read the pH of soil cores accurately. I also have photos there of Carter, Solberg, and Wagner, and a photo of peas with and without treatments of calcium carbonate. I wish I could say I hope you enjoyed the show, but I don't know how any farmer can enjoy hearing about low soil pH and the cost to fix it. Until next time, I'm Scott Yates, hoping you'll join me again for another episode of Weed All About It!
You think we're simple, you think we're not right. Look at your cities and ask yourself who's right. We've got country and you've got crime. We've got green and you've got grime. Let there be no doubt, we have what it takes to till the soil until our back aches. Just give us a break and don't be so rude. We love the work and you love the food.
We feed you.